Man, I want you to hear this morning, please. We've come, we've given God our tithes and our offerings, and we've come and encountered God in worship and given Him great thanks and great praise. And now this is our time to receive, man. This is our time to hear from God, right here. This is our time. God, what do you have for me this morning? God, I've come and I've given. But God, what do you got for me? What do you have for me this morning in your word? God, you have the ability to rearrange my life today. I need to receive this, and then we need to respond to it. Folks, that's what we do. Let's ask God to just speak to us this morning. And you can turn to two places, please. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, and Micah 7, verse 19. Deuteronomy is in the beginning of the Old Testament. Micah is towards the middle end of the Old Testament. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. You can find Micah in the middle of that. Deuteronomy's fifth book of the Old Testament. And I'm telling you what, please, this message is just, it's just on my heart, and I can't wait for you to hear this. Because I know that God will do a work in you if you hear this. I know that. I know that we go through different things in life, and I know that God, if you hear this morning, you can bank on this. Man, I'm telling you, you've got to trust God. And I want you to get this morning. And please, let's ask God to speak to us. God, we are here on purpose. I thank you for everyone who's here this morning, God. I thank you for the second service. Bless our time this morning. God, we come to hear from you today. God, we come with our eyes ready to see what you have us see from your word. God, we come with our ears ready to hear what you would have us to hear this morning. God, we come with our heart just open, ready to respond to what you say. Father, please speak to us this morning. God, in this moment right here, Father, I ask that your spirit would move and pinpoint this message to every heart that's here this morning. And folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, I'm here on purpose. I come on purpose. I want to be here. And I need to hear from you today. Speak to me. And God, I'll respond to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. We're in this I Am series. And we're talking about the faithfulness of God, that God said, I am faithful. That's what he said, I am faithful. And when you understand what that means, that the Bible says when God says he is faithful, that means that he is loyal. That means he can be trusted. I mean, I'm telling you, I was working Friday night, and I'm driving around in the police car, and I went up to the graveyard in the cemetery, and I'm just driving around, and you know, we patrol up there often, it's nothing new, but I stopped the car, and I got out, and I just kind of took a walk. And that's freaky. I mean, I'm just telling you, big cop, you know, big gun, lots of bullets, and you're just in a cemetery by yourself, and it's dark, and it's freaky, and then you're just walking, all of a sudden, there's a grave that's just, I mean, it's fresh. It's like that day's dig. You're like, ooh, okay. Like, but it's real. Because I'm looking at all of these gravestones. And one who knows truth, I mean, what comes to my heart is either they knew you or they didn't. They either knew Christ or they didn't. Every one of these represents either a whole family at times for different gravestones or individuals. Either they knew you or they didn't. I start reading some of the gravestones. You know, loving husband, dad, beloved son. You know, you see ones with babies, it's just heartbreaking. But you know what would be awful? If on a gravestone you saw, could not be trusted, disloyal, unfaithful. And when you look at God, and you try to compare the faithfulness of God to the faithfulness of man. And you try for some reason, because of hurt or broken relationships, because of those that have been disloyal, because of those who've been ones that we say, I can't trust you. You're not trustworthy. You're not loyal. You're not faithful. Whether it is a husband or wife, whether it is a son or a daughter looking to the parents and say, I just can't trust you, whether it is friends or family or somebody who's coming and betrayed you, we have this picture because of mankind and their ability to be so disloyal. Sometimes we try to
How does that work that we try to match that over to God, who's always faithful, who's always trustworthy, who's always loyal, but yet because we've had such a horrible picture of mankind's picture of what it is to be faithful, sometimes I think the enemy gets in there and says, no one will be faithful. No one can be trusted. And you know this because this is happening. This because the very people that you've trusted have abused you. Because the very people that are in your life are untrustworthy. Therefore, God can't be trusted. And we have this crazy, because of man, idea that we put God and his faithfulness in the same box as man and our faithfulness. And it just can't be. Because we have to separate the picture at times that the people in our lives have set up when they were untrustworthy, when they couldn't be trusted. Folks, the amazing thing is your enemies never betray you. You should expect that from your enemies. But the ones who love you most, the relationships, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, friendships. I can't mess up the picture at times that man sets compared to the picture that God sets in his faithfulness. Just can't do it. We just can't do it. And man, when we come to a place to recognize, God, you are faithful. I can't look at what they did. I can't look at what he did. I can't look at what she did. I can't look at those who have turned their back on me. I can't look. God, you are faithful always. And you've got to come to a place to wrap our mind around that. God, you are always loyal. You are always faithful, God. You always can be trusted, regardless of a picture from home or the abuse or the hurt or the brokenness. God, I've got to come to a place, say, God, I can always trust you because you're not like anyone else. God, you are alone and you stand alone and you are a faithful God who can be trusted. Again, we've got to clear this out, that you've got to come to a place to be able to separate how man functions compared to how God functions, because God is always faithful. That's what he is. He is always loyal. He cannot be anything else but. And he always can be trusted because he is God. We look at this morning in Deuteronomy 7 verse 9. It says this. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God. He is faithful. Now look at this. When we understand this, he's a faithful God. And I had to go in this thing. And this week, the last couple of weeks, I've always been just putting this thing together and putting pieces together. I had to come to a place to say, okay, God, I trust you. I believe in you. You are God of all creation. You sent your son to die for me. I know this. But God, in this message, and what is it for me personally? What are the top four things for me that I will have to always bank on? That you are always loyal and that I can trust you with these four things forever without change. And the first one that came to my heart is that God is who he says he is. You have to recognize God is who he said he is. He is God and no one is like him. He says it right here. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God. And the word know here is having that deep understanding. God, I am convinced, I am persuaded that you are God and no one is like you. Man, when you understand what it is to know that he is God, then there will be nobody who can convince you otherwise. There will be nobody to persuade you to anything else. There's no way that you come to a place to acknowledge, God, I know that you are God. I know that you are faithful. God, regardless what anyone else does, regardless where they go, God, I know. I have that deep knowledge and understanding that you are God. And if I'm the only one, God, I stand. That's what this word means. That's the deep meaning of this word, know. If I am the only one, yet I am still convinced that you are God. Look at this. Know therefore that God, the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful, the loyal, to be trusted God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Gang, are you completely and totally convinced, if you had to stand and walk alone, that you would know and are convinced and are persuaded that there will be nobody who can ever, ever talk you out that he is God and he is faithful? That's got to be your stance. You've got to know, number one, that he is who he said he is, and who he says he is, and who he says he will always be, that he is God. Isaiah 42 says this: I am the Lord that is my name. Now look what he says here. This is deep. I am the Lord that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor will my praise to graven images. That when you see this, when you understand this, I am the Lord that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. What do? As servants of God and come to know God, we give him praise and honor and glory and his majesty. Listen, there's nobody and there's no one and there's nothing that's above God for him to give his glory to. When you recognize what God is saying, he said, I am the one and only. No one is above me. I stand alone. No one is like me. I have no one to give my majesty to. I have no one to give my glory to. That's what he's saying here. And we got to come to a place, say, God, are you faithful? Are you loyal? Are you true? Can I trust that you truly are the one and only living God? Can I trust that you are above every other God? And this is what he says, nor my praise to idols or graven images. I give my praise and I give my majesty to no one because I am he and I am the only one. Gang, that's powerful. And we see this in Isaiah 45, 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is no other. Do you believe? And are you completely, totally convinced and persuaded to a point that nobody will ever be able to talk you out of it, convince you otherwise, whether you have to stand alone? Do you believe Isaiah 45, 22? Turn to me and be saved. All the ends of what is the only way to be saved? God says, I'm it. I'm he. There is no other. I am God. You turn to me, for I am God, and there is no other, you'll be saved. You turn anywhere else, you won't be saved. And when we come to a place to say God is faithful, we have got to be convinced that he is who he says he is. And I know that. And nothing, no circumstance, nothing in my life, no seasons of life, no storms of life, no circumstances, and no people in my life will ever be able to convince me otherwise. And we've got to understand this, folks. Number two to this message is this. What is it that we have to bank on God? Where is it, God, that you are faithful? God says you're never alone. Okay, know this, please. When God says you're never alone, you're never alone. When you understand when people abandon you and when people betray you and people turn their back on you, and man, we can look at the people, the very people who turn their back on Christ. We can look at those who are in relationship with him. We can look at those who served him and followed him. We can look at the disciples in his absolute most testing need, in his most testing time. Everybody abandoned him while he's on the cross and while he's getting arrested. Even before that, one of his closest, Judas, who's one of the 12, he comes to a place, sells himself short of 30 pieces of silver to sell Jesus, so to speak, to the enemy. You talk about one who turned his back. He even came, and Jesus knew all this. He wasn't surprised by this. He knows all things, and he just allowed this to happen. He watched the betrayal of Judas, knowing exactly what was going to take place. Here, Judas walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, knew Jesus 3+ years, saw the working of Jesus, recognized that no man was like him, recognized the authority and the power that Jesus had. And then there was a day that he sold out for 30 pieces to sell him, so to speak, to the soldiers, to the enemy. And by identifying him, he walks up to him in such soft kindness, and he says, oh, Rabbi, and he kisses him on the cheek for one purpose, to stab him in the back, and not literally, but to a point where he identifies him as Christ so the soldiers can come in and arrest him and take him to the cross. And he does it with a kiss. Your enemy is not looking to betray you, folks. And it comes at times from the closest. And that can so mess their emotions. Because so many times in our human relationships, we have been abandoned. And so many times in our human relationships, we don't know what it is for one to never abandon us. Whether it was a son or a daughter, abandoned by a father or a mother. Whether it's a husband or wife that turned on one another and abandoned each other.
whether it's a brother or sister, whether it's just close friendship relationships. But when you understand, God, are you really always there for me? God, I need to separate my abandonment from people to know that, God, you will always, always be with me. You will never, ever leave me alone. 1 Corinthians 10 says this. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Now look at this. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man, and God is faithful. God is loyal. God can be trusted, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, look at this, knowing that God, even in the most trying time, God, in the most trying moment, God, when that temptation is coming, God, I know that I am never alone in this. I never stand alone. A matter of fact, in the midst of my temptation, God, you say that you are faithful and that you are loyal, and I can trust you to provide for me a way of escape. And then look what he says. He says this, so that God is faithful, God is loyal, God can be trusted in all of this, so that what? You'll be able to endure it. It's amazing. I don't see a time limit on this. How long do I need to endure it? How long do I need to overcome? How long do I need to go through this? God says, I will give you the ability to endure it, to persevere, to never quit, to keep going. And I will always be with you. That's what God says. You will never be alone, gang. Matter of fact, in the midst of those times, when temptation comes, God says, I'll give you a way of escape. So much so that you just will be able to. Why are we able to endure? Because God is always with you. Hebrews 13:5 says this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you. For I will never forsake you. Get to it, man. Ring that in. This is what God says. God, are you really faithful? Can I really trust that I'm never alone? God, can I really come to a place to know that you are always loyal? I can always trust you. God, you are always faithful. And in that, God, you told me that you will never desert me. God, you told me that you'll never forsake me. You'll never abandon me. You will always be with me. And you come to a place, gang, to recognize, can you believe this? Can you really trust in the faithfulness of God, the loyalty of God, to know that, God, you will never desert me? See how many times when our failures show up as people, how many times when we fall short as people, that's when you're deserted. That's when you're left alone. That's when those who are to be closest to you abandon you, when you fall short. But man, we see God, who knows our every failure. He knows our every thought. He knows our every word. He knows our every intent and motive. And yet God says, even when you fall short, even when you fail, I will not desert you. I will not forsake you. That's what God says. Man, I'm going through this week, and I'm looking over this, and that, man, you will never forsake me. You will never abandon me. God, you will never forsake me. Father, you will never, and I'm just going over this, and I'm looking at this word forsake. It means to abandon or to turn his back on. Man, I see this in Scripture. I see another place in Scripture where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is hanging on a cross. And God's wrath is poured out on his Son. And you know the words after that? You know what Jesus cries out to God? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? And here I see this. God says, I will never desert you, Sean. Sean, I will never forsake you. I will not abandon you, Sean. And I look at the work of the cross, and I look at what Jesus did for me, that God had to, get this, God had to turn his back and forsake and abandon his own Son so that
He will never have to abandon or forsake me because of my son, because of my sin, because he put it upon his son. And when you understand this and you get that there was a moment that God had to forsake or abandon, same word, turn his back on his own son, so that he would never have to turn his back on me because of my sin. Can I trust you for that, God? God, are you faithful in that? God, are you loyal in that? Can I really trust that I'm never alone? Can I really bank, God, that you will never forsake me? That you will never abandon me? That you will never turn your back on me? Even when I fail. Even when I don't measure up. Will you stick with me? Amazing. Amazing. See, and the third part of this is this. God, when I fail and when I miss, can I trust that you'll forgive me? Again, trying to bring man's forgiveness into God's forgiveness. God, can I really trust that you're faithful to forgive me? Micah 7 says this. Turn over to Micah 7, please. Micah 7:19, and he will again, look at this, and he will again, and he will again, and he will again, and he will again, again. That means he had to do it again. He will again have compassion on us. He will, look at this, he will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, yes, look at this, God, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Again, he had compassion on us. He will tread all our iniquities underfoot. Yes, look at this. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God says, listen, when you understand what it is that God is faithful to forgive, we've got to come to a place. God, can I trust you to forgive me? You ever come to a place that sin comes up, that sin comes up, that sin comes up, and you, when the enemy comes and he lies to you, you come to this place to actually believe that the well ran dry. Well, God has forgiven me so much for that, he just probably won't forgive me anymore. The well has run dry. Or even in our marriages or even in our homes where it's the same thing, we come back, and we just feel like, well, that was my last shot. The well has run dry. Gang, that is not a picture of God. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful. He is loyal. He can be trusted. God, can I really trust you to forgive my sin? And this is written to the church, folks. This is written to those who've already confessed Christ as Lord. God, can I really trust you? Again, God, I need to come to you. And again, God, I'm asking for your compassion again and again and again. For his word says this, if we confess our sins, he is loyal. He can be trusted. He is faithful and righteous to what? To forgive us of our transgressions and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think so many people get hung up on this, and so many people stop coming to God because of the weight of sin, because of the hurt and brokenness of sin, because they've seen some picture in mankind where so-and-so hasn't forgotten so-and-so, and so-and-so has bitterness against so-and-so, and so-and-so. And we get this ridiculous picture of what man is, and we forget that God is not like any other. God is God, and what he says is absolute. And when God says, if you confess your sin, I will be faithful and I will be loyal to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is who God is, and he cannot change. Again, when you get this and you recognize, we go to God again, and 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 we continue to pursue God, and we continue to cry our heart to God, and we continue to ask God to forgive us, and over and over and over, God is faithful to forgive. That's powerful. Isaiah tells us this. I have wiped out, look at this, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud, like your sins, like a heavy mist. And then he says these three words, return to me. Return to me. Gang, what is it when God himself says, come back? When God himself says, return to me, come back to me. Look what he says. Listen, I've wiped out your transgressions. I have forgiven you. Psalms 103 says, man, I have removed them as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 38:17 says, man, I have put them far behind me. Jeremiah 31:34 says, I will remember your sin no more. That's what God says. And he says, come back to me. Return to me. How many times do we just feel so resistant and we feel this chain that just keeps us and holds us from going to God because of our sin? Well, you just, man, I've gone to him again and I've gone, I just feel like I just can't go. And it's just this weight and it's this ball and it is painful, gang. When God says, listen, if you come to me, I am faithful, man. I am loyal. You can trust me. I will forgive you. As a matter of fact, I'll forgive you so much that I am come to a place to put your sins in the depths of the sea. I've come to a place to put your sin so far behind me. I've come to a place that I will not remember your sin. I've come to a place to remove it from you as far as the east is from the west. Well, God, how many times can I come again and again and again and again? Folks, that is called God's grace. And it is amazing. And it is incredible. And there's freedom in that when you see this. Can you trust him with your sin? Can you trust him to forgive you over and over and over and over? Gang, the well doesn't run dry. When we turn on God and we reject God, and he allows us to do that, but we know the conviction of sin, and God is saying, return to me, for I have redeemed you, man. I have paid for you. I have bought you back. Return to me. See, again, the problem is we have this picture of God and man, and how many times have we trusted somebody? Well, if you just come home, it'll be different. Well, if you return home, things will change. We return home and it's no different, or it's okay for a while and then it just goes right back down the toilet. And we get this picture that, well, if it didn't work here, how can it work with God? Because I'm so damaged and I'm so broken and I'm so bruised, and those who I've loved, I have returned and it has backfired on me. Gang, do you trust God? Do you trust in his faithfulness? Do you trust that he is loyal to you? Even in our failures, he is loyal to you. And when we come back to him and we return to him, why? For I have already paid for you. You've been redeemed. He bought you back. You're mine. God is not like man. God is not like man. If you've had an abusive father, he is not like your father. If you had an abusive husband, he is not like your husband. If you've had an abusive wife, he is not like your wife. If you have friends that when you have failed, they've abandoned you, he is not like your friends. He says, return to me. I'm faithful. I'm righteous. I will forgive. And I will cleanse of all your unrighteousness. Gang, please hear this. Please hear this. This morning, here and now. Confess your sin to God. Come to a place that, God, I need to trust that you're faithful. Regardless of any picture that man has set up for me. God, you are not like man. You are not like this. You are not like that one. You are not like God. You are God alone, unlike any other. And you will forgive me because you said you would. Isn't that amazing you can say that? God, you will forgive me. Why do I know that? Because you said you would. That's how much I trust you. That's how faithful I know that you are. You will forgive me. How do I know? How do I know that you will forgive me? Because you said you would. That's powerful, folks. When you recognize God said he would and he will, God, how do I know that you will forgive me? Because you said you would and you are faithful and you can't be anything but faithful. God, I can trust you in that. That's powerful. Don't let the enemy come in. Don't let people come in and wiggle out of that. And God says, please return to me. The last point is this. Do you trust that God is faithful and he is loyal and he can be trusted with your eternity? How many times have you thought, man, are the streets really gold? Is it really like a sea of glass? Is it really so bright that there's no need for that? I mean, is that really what it's going to be like? I mean, God, I recognize, and gang, we've got to get past right here. We've got to get past today and tomorrow, and we've got to open our eyes to those who know Christ, for those who've confessed their sin, for those who recognize Jesus is the only way. I understand my sin. I turn from my sin, accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, surrender myself to him. Man, I belong to him, and in that, he's promised me forever. He's promised me eternity. He's promised me that there will be a place that Jesus has gone to prepare that place for me. And in that, there's a promise. Gang, we recognize that all of this, everything we see here is temporary. When you begin to understand, for those who have gone through hurt, for those who have gone through pain, for those who have gone through disease, for those who have gone through over and over tears and crying and mourning and sorrow, all of it gone forever. Because God said so. Okay, I just want to read this to you, please, as we close out. Can you trust that this is the way it will be? Revelation 21, just hear this, please. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Look, this is what it's going to be. Made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. For now look at this. For I have heard, let's just hear this. I've heard a loud voice from the throne. Well, who's sitting on the throne? This is God sitting on a throne. And here John writes what he hears. And God says, listen, write this down. And he heard a loud voice from the throne. And said, behold. I mean, that is like an announcement, man. That is like God of all creation. God who sits on the throne. This is, listen, gang, get this. This is after Jesus' return. This is after the enemy has been cast and bound for an eternity. This is after the great white throne judgment. This is what is going to take place. And man, it's up to you and me to recognize, God, do I trust you are who you say you are? God, do I trust that I am never alone? God, can I bank on that? God, can I trust that when I come to you, you will forgive me because you said you would? God, can I trust you that when I die, you have really, truly prepared a place for me? Can I trust you with my forever? Gang, life is like this, man. It's a breath. Here today, going tomorrow. That's life. God, can I trust you for my forever? And he says this. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Look at what's going to take place. God will dwell among them. We will be his people. God will be among us. And look at this. This is what he says. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. For the first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne, behold, I am making all things new. This is the picture. Everything becomes new. And he says this. This is incredible. Write it, for these words are faithful. Bank on this. This is absolutely true. And I want to read this and I want you to hear it again. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. There is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. This is going to take place. This is our forever. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. We will be his people. He will be among us. And look at this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Man, just bow your heads, please, for a moment. Man, I want you to see this, please. I want you to get this. Bow your heads. Get this. Who is it, gang, who wipes away their tears? It is God. My Abba Father, the one who loves and cares for me. He's the one. What a picture. What an amazing picture this is. That God will go to his children, sons and daughters, and he will be the one to wipe their faces clean of tears. There will be no longer any death. There will be no mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. And there will be no more disease. There will be no more hurt. There will be no more loneliness ever. There will be no more depression ever. There will be never a need for anything to cure a problem again, ever. Ever. No longer any mourning. No longer any crying, no longer any pain, no longer any fear, no longer any anxiety, no longer any evil, no longer any despair, no longer any loneliness, no longer any depression, no longer any disease. And he who is on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Can you trust him for that? Honestly, can you trust him for that? God, whatever I'm going through is so temporary. God, this hurt, this pain, this loneliness, God, this depression, the different things that I'm going through, God, it's temporary because there is a day that you said that you will make all things new for me. God, there's a day. You said it, God. You said that there would be a day that you personally will take me as your son or your daughter, and God, you personally will wipe away my tears. God, you said that there will be a day that all of this pain, all of this sorrow, all of this mourning will be passed away. And God, you will make all things new. God says, John, write it down. That's what he says. He says, and he said, write. He's talking to John. John, write this down. For all eternity, John, write it down. For these words are faithful and true. Write it down, John, so they know. What I say is, John, write it down so they know. You can trust me in this. John, write it down so they know that I am loyal to them, God. John, write it down so they will know that these words are faithful and true. There will be a day and all things become new. Man, if you could just stay seated. Brendan's going to sing. Man, I just want you to really hear this as we sing this. I just want you to stay still. Man, if anybody needs prayer, man, don't be ashamed. Get up out of your seat. Come up. We'd love to pray with you.
But what has God spoke to you this morning? What areas of your life have you see what you see in man and forgot that God is not like man? What areas in your life this morning that you got to come to a place? God, you're faithful. God, I can trust you in this. God, I can trust you in this. You're faithful. Man, if you just do business with God yourself, amen. If you want to come up front, we'd love to pray with you. Come on.